The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on March 19th, 2010, in Vrindavan, India.
Bhagavad Gita 4:8. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, our wonderful Savior. According to Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness, wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants, or duskritam, are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education, whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as He is to destroy them, as He did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons. But the Lord especially descends to appease His unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudeva were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So, Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than to kill Kamsa. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore, it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verses, Madhya 22:63-64, summarize these principles of incarnation. Shrishti hetu ye murti prapanche avatare, se ishvara murti avatara namadhare, mayatita pravyome sabara avastana, vishva avatari dhare avatara nama. The avatar, or incarnation of Godhead, descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation, and the particular form of the personality of Godhead, who so descends, is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are various kinds of avatars, such as Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Shaktivesha avatars, Manvantara avatars, and Yuga avatars, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all avatars. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very anxious to see Him in His original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy His unalloyed devotees. The Lord says that He incarnates Himself in every millennium. This indicates that He incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation of the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world from town to town and village to village. Lord Chaitanya as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly but not directly in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures, such as the Upanishads, Mahabharata, and Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but delivers them by his causeless mercy.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bara Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Siji Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So Krishna is pretty good at doing more than one thing at once. If somebody in this world can do, you know, both hands equally, they're called ambidextrous. But Krishna goes far beyond that. He can do millions and billions of things by one activity. Millions and billions of things. Described here, three things: delivering the pious, annihilating the miscreants, as well as reestablishing the principle of religion. But that's just really the tip of the iceberg. Within that, there's unlimited things he accomplishes with every one of his pastimes. It's nice to point out here, actually, Krishna doesn't have to really, you know, he doesn't have to mess with these demons. I mean, he can help cause any demon to have a heart attack if he wanted to, you know. It's not to directly dirty his hands by killing a demon. But he does so to please his devotees also. He kills demons actually to please, for the sake of pleasing his devotees, just like when, you know, that Hiranyakashipu got the claws, got his gut ripped open. You see? That was a special, he wanted to please Prahlad. Ordinarily, you would never think that somebody would be pleased seeing their father killed. But in this case, because the father was such a demon, the son became very happy. Normally, if someone kill your father, you would defend. He would be very angry. But actually, he was so pleased that his father got killed. He said, "Here, my dear father killer, take this garland." Is it? So, these are the amazing pastimes of the Lord. Really, he's doing it to please his devotees, as Prabhupada aptly points out here, because devotees want to see the Krishna Lila, you see. They want to see the Vrindavan pastime. So that's why Krishna comes. He wants to please the devotees. I mean, these Vrindavan pastimes especially. The pure devotees are very anxious to see these pastimes. Because they're so sweet. You see the Vrindavan Leela especially, just oozing. Every single Leela is oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar. Just like some gigantic gulab jamun, you know. Just imagine a gulab jamun, that when you bite it, the juice comes out of it so thick and heavy, it fills up the whole universe and it penetrates through all the coverings of the universe. The millions and billions and trillions of miles of thick, thick universal coverings. That gulab jamun juice is so powerful, just poof, it bursts all the way through the coverings. You see, that's the power of Krishna's pastimes. This is why the pure devotees are very eager for this lila smaranam. You see? Because this way you can stow away. Just by meditating on Krishna's pastimes, you can actually become qualified to enter into his pastimes. We say, well, if the real nectar is in the lila, why are we studying the Bhagavad Gita? Well, this is also lila. Bhagavad Gita is also lila. This is Krishna's pastime as well. And actually be able to qualify ourselves to hear the Vrindavan pastimes, we have to go through this step also. We have to understand the basics. If we want to jump all of a sudden to Vrindavan Leela, you see, without hearing these other things, then our spiritual life will be incomplete. Actually, one devotee, I just received an email, he was comparing, there are other sannyasis outside of our movement, they just want to talk about Krishna's pastimes. They don't want to talk about you're not the body, you have to give up lust, anger, greed. They don't want to talk about these things. So one day he was tricked into hearing from one of these sannyasis. He said it was very sweet, but it was not... If your meal was only sweets, if all you ate was sweets, you see, it wouldn't be a proper diet. It wouldn't be healthy. You got to have your rice, dal, chapatis, sabji, you know. And then you can have a sweet along with it. But if you had only sweets and nothing else, you'd be very sick, you see. So just, if all I want to do is hear about Krishna kissing the gopis and all these leelas, you know, and I don't want to qualify myself to actually become pure by, you know, chanting 16 rounds, giving up illicit sex, meeting, intoxication, and gambling. Just like somebody who just wants to eat sweets. They don't want to actually, you know, have a good healthy meal. So the Bhagavad Gita is the basic meal, you see. And these Vrindavan pastimes, that's the sweet at the end. We need this. It's very important. And even the Bhagavatam, you don't get to those intimate pastimes until all the way in the 10th canto. You see. The beginning of the Bhagavatam is like the Bhagavad Gita. It talks about devotional service, how to engage in devotional service. So this is a very important thing, that we master the basics. Just like somebody may want to learn how to play the drum, they say, just show me the fancy beats. You see? Don't show me the basic beats. I mean, that's kid stuff. I want to go to, just show me the fancy beats right away. You see? But if you don't know how to get a good sound out of a basic beat, then your fancy beats will be useless. You got to start off with a basic beat to know how to hit the just right, the right way so that you get the full resonant sound out of that drum, you see. There's subtleties, you see. The way you hit it, you can hit it like this or you can hit it like this. It's a very subtle thing. You can't really tell. You have to actually do it and experience it to understand the difference between hitting it properly and hitting it improperly. Because when you hit it properly, it resonates like anything. And there's so many varieties of sounds also. You can hit it this way and get that kind of a sound, hit it that way and get that kind of a sound. These subtleties of hitting it are very important. And if you want to go to the fancy rhythms and you don't know how to hit it, then, you know, they won't be very attractive. They won't be very effective for kirtan. But if you can get just out of a basic beat, you can get a really, really good sound out of the basic beat. And then you can, from there, you can become really first-class mridanga player. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, we got to master the basics, you see. We have to learn how to rise early in the morning, take bath, put tilak, chant the japa mala, follow regulated principles, take shelter of the association of Vaishnavas, of Guru, study these wonderful teachings, these Vedic scriptures that Prabhupada has so wonderfully described in the most clear, comprehensible way that's been available in the whole Kali Yuga. No one has made the Vedic literature so available to the general population as His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa, Parivrajakacharya, Astadarjada Shishimad, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada, Ki Jai. You see, He has made it the most accessible of any acharya in this age. No one has made the Vedas so accessible as Prabhupada. So if we can understand exactly what's being spoken about here, very clearly, you see, that we have to come to devotional service. You can't jump beyond devotional service. You have to go through the process of devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavanyashtatmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishute tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So that devotional service, learning how to actually serve God, you see, that is absolutely essential. Without that, you'll never understand God. You may claim, well, I had a dream, and Krishna came to me, and I have so God realized, but I'm sorry. Unless you've actually come to devotional service, Krishna says you can understand me, you see. I'm only understood by devotional service. There's no other way to understand Krishna. You can't do it by becoming an expert Sanskritist. You can't bribe your way. The only way you can really know Krishna is by devotional service. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita is simply telling us from this angle of vision, from that angle of vision, that you have to surrender to Krishna. See? So many ways of being told, and this is what you do when you surrender. If one can simply follow the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, then one's life will be successful. It's all here. The whole understanding is here in the Bhagavad Gita. The principle of surrender, and then what you should do if you are surrendered. Just like Krishna says, Jagyashishtashanashanto muchan se sarva kilvishai bunjate te pakam bhakyam Jagyashishtashanashanto muchan te sarva kilvishai bunjate te pakam papam ye pacham yatmakarvana. Krishna says you should only eat prasadam. You see? The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which has only been offered for sacrifice. Those who eat which has not been offered are barely eating only pap or sin. Chapter 3, text number 13. And then he describes in chapter 9, well, okay, I want to offer food to Krishna, so what should I offer? The answer is that one too. Patram pushpam palam dhoyam yome bhakta priyachati tadaham bhakya pavrishnam matam ashnami prayadatmanaha. If you will offer me a leaf, a flower, food or water, I will accept it. But wait, I missed something, didn't I? With love and devotion. That's right. If you will offer me a leaf, a flower, food or water with love and devotion, bhaktya, you see, then I will accept. So Krishna doesn't need your leaf, flower, fruit, or water. Radharani is giving him much nicer leaves, fruits, flowers, and water than we can give him. But there's one thing Krishna wants, and only we can give it to him, and that's our love. You say, wait a minute, Radharani can give much better love than me. Why would he want my love if he has Radharani's love? You know the answer to that question. I know the answer. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he is expanding from himself an unlimited of living entities for the purpose of expanding his own enjoyment, because every time you make a new friend or have a new relationship, it makes your life more pleasant. The more you can have relationships with people, the more you become happy and satisfied. That's our experience. So Krishna desires to have unlimited loving relationships. This is part of his supreme enjoyment. Therefore, he could have just had Radharani and that would be it. But to expand his enjoyment, he expands from himself. How many living entities? What was the count? An infinite number of living entities he expands from himself. Why? Because he likes to enjoy infinitely. Krishna can never be enjoy enough. He has to enjoy infinitely. You see? So therefore, he expands from himself an infinite number of living entities to have an infinite number of loving relationships. And you know what? There's no clones here in Krishna's creation. Everybody is unique. Did you ever study snowflakes? When I was a kid, we used to study the snowflakes in school. We saw pictures of it in our science book. Every snowflake has a unique pat. Every snowflake is an amazing, beautiful creation of God. And every single snowflake has a completely different pattern than every other snowflake, even though there's millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and sextillions and octillions. And you get the idea, zillions to the zillionth power of snowflakes out there. But there's not two snowflakes who are the same. That are the same. There's not two that are the same. Every single snowflake is completely unique. Therefore, in the same way, every single jiva that Krishna is manifesting from himself is totally unique, unlike any other jiva. And that means that Krishna can taste a certain type of loving relationship in association with that particular jiva that no other jiva can give him. So what does that mean if you don't surrender to Krishna? You're depriving him of having that loving relationship that he wants with you. And if you are making God unhappy, do you think you can be happy? No way. You'll never be happy because you're depriving God of that happiness that he wants, and that's your association. He wants your loving service, you see. So in this way, we can understand something about Krishna. And do our duty, which is to give him that love that only I can give him, only you can give him. That is our own individual love, you see. You can't satisfy with anybody else's love. We see sometimes the parents come and they bring their little child and they say, now you offer your obeisances. They'll tell the child to offer the obeisances to me. You see, the parents won't offer, but they'll have the children offer. But I tell the parents, no, that's not the right way to train your child. If you want the child to learn how to offer obeisances, you offer obeisances and engage the child offering them along with you. You know, don't just tell the child, now you offer obeisances to that devotee. That's not the way to train a child. The parent should be the acharya. The parent, because it should be something fun and exciting, not something, I have to do this because my parents are ordering me to do this. No. A little child can do that, but I guarantee you when they grow up, my parents always made me do that when I was a little kid. But they never did it, you see. That doesn't work. That's not a way to train a child. The parent should be offering obeisances and engaging it as a wonderful thing. Now we'll go offer our obeisances to that devotee. And then let's do it together. Let's have this wonderful experience together of offering our obeisances to that devotee, you see. So this is the way. We can't expect that by engaging other people in Krishna consciousness, that's how we'll become. Of course, that's part of what our service, but first of all, we have to do. That's the point. We ourselves have to surrender. Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tadevetaro. What is it? Yad yad acharati shrestas tat tadevetaro jana. Sayat pramanam kurute lokasta nanuvartate. Whatever great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Lokasta nanuvartate. So this is a very simple formula, how to revolutionize this planet, indeed how to revolutionize the entire universe. All we have to do is become acharyas, you see. You say, well, come on, I'm a house sorter. Wait a minute. Everybody's supposed to be an acharya. You see? That's our family business here. Just like when I want a kirta, I go down to Ganga Prasad, you see. And they have them make me a kirta that fits me. Of course, sometimes they don't do a good job of that. That's another matter. But anyway, that's their family business going on for many generations. Their father was a cloth merchant. Their grandfather, I don't know how many generations, Ganga Prasad's family is cloth merchant, you see. They have the pictures of their previous cloth acharyas, you see, while they're... So that's their system. So that's their family business, the cloth merchant. So we have our family business also. What is that business? Acharya business. Prabhupada told us in Mayapur. He said, now we are 10,000, and then we will grow to 100,000, and then 1,000,000, and then to 10,000,000. He said there will be no scarcity of acharyas. Now these Vidvik people, they say, no, only one acharya. But that means they didn't listen to the founder acharya when he said 10,000,000 acharya. They didn't, you know, they must have had some cotton in their ears or something when Prabhupada said that. You know, Prabhupada said 10,000,000 acharyas. And they're saying, no, only one. Only one. I say there's only one. That means they're trying to present themselves as a bigger acharya than Prabhupada. That I say there can only be one. That means they're trying to present themselves as the acharyas, what they're really trying to do. The Prabhupada said 10,000,000 acharyas. That means we should all become ideal examples of Krishna consciousness. With our every thought, our every word, our every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. We should all try to become living embodiments of Prabhupada's mercy in all of our actions with each other, with the general public, and to our very selves. You see? In this way, we'll become absolutely ecstatic and we can truly create a revolution on this planet before we depart for those wonderful pastimes of Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
I have a question about a lecture you gave before.
Okay.
You gave the example of how Prabhupada said that in the line of acharyas we are number 12. Where is that from?
Los Angeles arrival lecture. And I can show you in the Veda base. You send me, give me your email address, and I can email you the exact quote. It's the Los Angeles arrival address. I forget what year it was. Let's see if I have it here. No, I have it actually written, the exact date written down in my daytime room, which I left on my bed, but it's there because when I gave it in the class, I read it verbatim out of the Veda base. I went to the Veda base, I copied it down on a piece of paper, I brought it to the class, and I read it exactly word for word as Prabhupada stated in the lecture. He said that he is the 10th in the line of... See, did he say... Yeah, he said he is the 10th... the Guru Maharaj was 10th in the line from Lord Chaitanya. I'm the 11th, and you are the 12th. Yeah. You are the 12th. So that means that the Prabhupada disciples and then the grand disciples, they are position number 13 from Lord Chaitanya. That means we all have a duty to purely represent this sampradaya which we have become members, you see. Each one of us should become a living embodiment of this sampradaya by our actions, our thoughts, and our words. That's how our movement will take off like a rocket, I guarantee you. When all of us get serious about really being acharya-like in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Ideal examples, you see. Who purely and truly represent the sampradaya in everything that we do in all times, places, and circumstances. We'll see this movement, you know, capture the whole world very quickly. They'll come running to us for guidance. We can't figure out how to solve the problems. You Prabhupada followers, you please tell us how to straighten out the problems on this planet. The President of the United States will be calling, the Prime Minister of India, everyone, all the leaders will be begging us to please guide them. When that day comes and we really become acharyas and really do what Prabhupada told us to do, it'll happen, I guarantee you. It'll happen. So, it's pretty exciting, actually. Learning how to control your senses. It's the greatest adventure. It's more enlivening than conquering Mount Everest. It's a bigger challenge than conquering Mount Everest. Conquering the Mount Everest of your senses. That's the biggest one. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam mudaro pasta vegam etan vitanyo vishaheta dhira sarvam apimam dhritivim shishishyat. This is where it's at. Bring those mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals completely under control. Don't be a dancing dog anymore to your senses. Indriya seva is hell. Krishna seva is ecstatic.
So what's stopping us from doing it now?
Huh?
What's stopping us from doing it now?
What's stopping doing this now?
Huh?
What is stopping now in this moment?
Nothing. There's nothing to stop. There's nothing stopping you. Do it. There's nothing stopping you. To do it. There's nothing in the way. Just do it. That's all we have to do. Just do it. From this moment on, just do it. Obey Prabhupada's orders. There's nothing stopping us. Nothing. Nothing can stop us. Not birth, not death, not old age, not disease, No power on earth can stop a person who wants to be a pure devotee. No power on earth can stop it. Do it! Okay, anything else? Everybody satisfied now? Ready to revolutionize your senses? Those rascal sentences. Teach those rascals to be obedient. Get rid of kama, krodha, lobha, mada, moha, and matsarya once and for all. Yeah.
So you would say that it's only our desire which is keeping us from accomplishing this.
That's all you have to have, Prabhu, is the desire. It's all you have to have. You have to have the burning desire.
You said that
did I answer you?
Yeah.
All you got to have is a burning desire to become pure. And Krishna will give you every facility, I guarantee you. He'll give you unlimited facility. If you are burning and your desire to become his pure devotee, he will give you unlimited facility. That's a fact. Try it, you'll like it. This is the, what does Krishna say? Susukam. See, there's happiness, sukham. But then there's susukam. That's very, very happy. That is Krishna consciousness. Chapter 9, text number 2, Bhagavad Gita. Raja vidya raja ghuyam pavitram. What is it? Raja vidya raja ghuyam pavitram. Susukam kartamavyayam. Yes. This is ecstatically performed. And as it is also confirmed, the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness is also confirmed. Even the stage of just on the verge of becoming purely Krishna conscious, even that stage is absolutely ecstatic. What to speak of becoming purely Krishna conscious? Just the next door neighbor of pure bhakti, which is called Brahma-bhuta, that is also absolutely ecstatic. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochati na kangshati samaksarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim lavate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes absolutely ecstatic. He never hankers or desires to have anything. He's equally disposed towards all living entities, and in that state he attains pure devotional service unto me. So even before you achieve pure bhakti, when you just get on the verge of pure bhakti, Brahmabhuta, even then you become absolutely ecstatic. So just imagine how much more ecstatic pure bhakti would be. Oh my goodness. It's called Achintya-ananda. Achintya-ananda. We've heard of Achyutananda, now there's Achintya-ananda. Inconceivable bliss. So if you want some inconceivable bliss, it's right here. The key of how to get it is right here in Prabhupada's books. You just got to embrace these books as your very life and soul. Make these books your life and soul. Your every breath is an emanation. It's a manifestation of Prabhupada's teachings. Your every breath, your every thought, everything you do is a pure manifestation of Prabhupada's teachings. That's how we have to live. That's called acharya, you see. That's what Prabhupada wants out of us. You may say, well, Prabhupada wasn't really pushing us like that. I mean, you know, just struggle along and, you know, you go back to Godhead because you got initiated and you were sincere. Well, I don't buy that because Prabhupada personally ordered me to become a pure devotee. He told me, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. So what's the qualification to see Krishna face to face, standing in front of you? Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu velokayanti yang shama sundaram chintyaganasvarupam govindamandi purusham tamaham bhajami. You have to become completely pure to see Krishna. So Prabhupada ordered me to become completely pure. So, of course, I'm a long way from getting there, but I'm praying for His mercy. Because that's where the nectar is. That's where the nectar is. I know that whatever anxieties and miseries I'm going through are not because of the material situation that I may be in. Simply due to my lack of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, my only prayer is, Krishna, please make me a pure devotee. Please help me out of this dungeon of Indriya Seva. So we got about 30 seconds left. Actually, we're over time on this clock. But slightly over time. And there's no other questions. I can take one more question. If not, we will adjourn here. No questions? Okay. I thank you all so much for coming tonight. It was very enlivening. You all contributed greatly just by your enthusiastic hearing. I'm normally not so enthusiastic to speak, but when there's enthusiastic listeners, like you all are enthusiastic listeners, and I become very enlivened by your mercy. So thank you very much for helping me to help me to be enthusiastic to speak by your enthusiastic hearing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Raja Gurja Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.